Good morning. Today is Sunday, April 11th, 2021. You are listening to the online worship service of the Petaluma United Methodist Church. We apologize that last week that we were unable to post a worship service. We did have some technical difficulties, some unforeseen circumstances. We're happy to be back online and happy to have you with us.
Please join me in our call to worship. It is no secret that we have been on a stressful journey. What we may not remember is that God is fully present and fully able to lift us up. Let us abandon all that weighs us down and soar with the Holy Spirit as we worship together. Amen. Please join me in our call to confession. Each of us falls short of glory that God would have us experience. We find reasons not to take risks for the kingdom of God. And each of us are touched by God's call to release our fear of failure and to step openly into His forgiving grace. Come now, let us pray in silence as we seek forgiveness and new life in Christ.
God's forgiving grace reaches even in this moment to embrace us all. Let us open our hearts to receive the amazing gift of forgiveness in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen.
The first scripture reading comes from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This ends the reading.
We When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name.
Good morning. Pastor Schuyler is on vacation this week, getting some well-deserved time off and taking care of things at home. For you that don't know, my name is Mark Benzinelli, and I am a certified lay servant in the UMC, what they used to call a lay speaker. They now call a lay servant. And Pastor Schuyler asked me to deliver the sermon today, and I gratefully accepted. So I hope most of you are probably familiar with the Indiana Jones movies, where Harrison Ford plays a character called Indiana Jones. He's a historian who always goes on these quests seeking out historical artifacts, you know, like the Ark of the Lost Covenant. And in this one, in all these movies, at some point he gets into these hair-raising adventures, chase scenes, you know, where his life is in danger. And in this one movie, he's running from the bad guys, and they're shooting bullets and shooting arrows and throwing spears at him, and he's running, just running for his life. And he runs into this cave. He follows this path into this cave, and he's running as fast as he can, trying to stay ahead of these bad guys. And he runs through this cave, and he comes to a point where he comes to an abrupt stop because the path ends. And he looks down, and there's this 1,000-foot drop into nothingness. And he's in a quandary. He can continue on, jump off the cliff, or stay there and wait for the bad guys to catch him. Either way, it's certain death. He doesn't know what to do. And then he remembers the words the wise man spoke to him at the beginning of the movie. And the wise man said, "Indy, sometimes you just have to let go." And with those words in his mind, Indy takes that step off the cliff. And what do you know? It was all an optical illusion. The path does not end. The path goes on. And Indy continues on the path, and he gets away, and his life is saved. And he continues on. He took the leap of faith. A faith is not knowing that something will happen. Faith is not knowing what will happen. Faith is having doubt, but taking that necessary step anyway. In today's scripture, in John chapter 20, we come across a familiar scene. Now, this is the continuation of the Easter story. This is Easter night. After the morning, when the women ran to the tomb and found their stone rolled away and the tomb was empty, Mary saw the angels. They told the apostles. Peter and John ran to the tomb to find it empty. The gardener spoke to Mary, revealing himself to be Jesus. And now it's that evening, and the apostles have gone to the upper room. They've locked themselves away. They're in fear. They're in fear that the Jews may come after them. They're in fear because at that time it was quite common for the Romans to execute a leader of a sect and then go after all his followers. They were afraid. They had lost their leader. They'd lost their teacher, their security blanket. They were scared witless and didn't know what to do. Then Jesus appears and says, "Peace, my peace I give to you." He breathes the Spirit upon them, and they are reassured as he tells them that he will never, never leave them, that he will always be there with them. They're overcome with joy. They celebrate, all except for Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the other 10 and their companions. He hears their stories that they've seen the risen Christ, but he has his doubts. He's skeptical. Wouldn't you be? Let's take a minute to get to know Thomas, but we need to be careful because when we're looking at Thomas, we're quite likely to see a bit of ourselves. Thomas is named, other than Matthew's gospel where he lists the 12, Thomas is named 5 times in John's gospel, the only times in the New Testament that Thomas is mentioned. The most familiar passage is the one that we read today, the doubting Thomas passage. But Thomas was a leader in the church. Thomas went on missionary excursions. He spread the gospel throughout southern Asia, ending up in India. The Christian church in India has its roots with Thomas. Thomas wrote a gospel, often called the fifth gospel, and except for one passage, would have been included in our Bible today. It's a very, very interesting gospel, I find. If you haven't read it, I highly suggest that you do. So they're gathered in the upper room, the 10 and their companions. Thomas wasn't there, and we don't know where he was. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he was hiding. Maybe he was in fear for his life. Maybe he was in mourning. Jesus had died. Maybe he was so overcome with grief that he needed to take time to get away and be by himself. Maybe he went to doing God's work. Maybe he was casting out demons. Maybe he was healing. Maybe he was delivering Meals on Wheels. All we know is that the others were there. Thomas wasn't. And when he returned, the others were ecstatic. They were joyful. "We have seen the Lord." Thomas was dubious. Wouldn't you be? And let's face it, the other apostles, they were dubious when the women came back that morning and said that the tomb was empty. They didn't believe it. It's natural to be skeptical. It's human to have some doubt. And I think that God welcomes our questions. He not only wants our hearts, he wants our minds. And I think we all have a bit of doubting Thomas in us. We all want to experience God's love firsthand. We all want to see it for ourselves. We might understand Thomas' reluctance if we remember his words as Jesus prepared to go to Bethany, where his friend Lazarus had died. Bethany being just a couple of miles from Jerusalem, where they had recently been. The other apostles were scared. They were frightened. They said, "Master, do not go there, for they just tried to stone you." But Thomas said, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Thomas has been zealous for Jesus, but has seen his worst fears realized. The crucifixion has broken his heart. The phrase, "once burned, twice shy," comes to mind. Thomas believed, but his belief was betrayed. We can understand why he would be slow to believe again. And who's to say that doubt is such a bad thing anyway? Personally, I believe a bit of doubt and skepticism is essential to strong faith. That's probably why I'm a Methodist. Doubt gives way to faith. Faith can be a consequence of our disbelief, and faith leads to our salvation. I'll be honest with you. I've had many, many doubts in my life. The first half of my life, 30-some years, I was what you would call a devout agnostic. I really didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't know if there was one. I didn't know if there wasn't. Quite honestly, the thought of God scared me. Growing up, I didn't grow up in a very religious household, but I always heard whenever I screwed up, made a mistake, or did something bad, my mother would say, "God's going to get you for that." So by the time I hit my teenage years, I figured, well, I'm pretty well doomed anyway. So I thought, well, if there's a God, I'm in trouble. But as time went on, and in my 30s, an episode happened, a circumstance came to be, and the outcome was quite unexpected, and I had no way to explain it other than the hand of God. And I became a believer. And I've confessed my faith to Christ, and my faith has grown over the years. My faith has been there despite my doubts. The founder of our denomination, founder of the Methodist movement in 18th century England, John Wesley, he had his doubt of faith. Early in his preaching career, he went on a missionary trip to Georgia in the States. It was a total failure. He was disillusioned. He was let down. On the return home to England, crossing the Atlantic, a violent storm came up, tossing the boat to and fro, like the disciples on the Lake of Galilee. Everyone was disturbed. Everyone was in fear, except a group of Germans from Bavaria, who were known as the Moravians. They sat in the hold of the ship, peacefully, singing hymns, praising God. Wesley was amazed at their peace in this time of trouble. And when he returned to England, he got to know these Moravians, especially one Peter Bowler. Wesley came to him one day and said, "Peter, how can I keep preaching when I have doubts in my faith?" Bowler told him, "My dear John, you shall keep preaching until you have faith. And then once you will have faith, you will preach because you have it." Even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, had a moment of doubt in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's human to have doubt. And who wants a religion where you're spoon-fed and expected to march in tight formation and lockstep with everyone else? I don't. I want to ask honest questions. I want to hold Scripture up to the test of historical criticism. I want to openly debate the issues of modern society, and I want to come to my own understanding of God's will for my life, because I'm confident that God is big enough to accept my idiosyncrasies. He's wise enough to answer my questions, and He's loving enough to forgive my irreverence. All this is to say, I like Thomas. He had the courage and honesty to express his doubts, even though it might not be politically correct. After all, how can we learn if we don't ask questions? How can our faith grow and develop if we aren't honest about what we don't understand? Whatever you may think about Thomas, remember this. He was willing to expose his ignorance in order to know the truth. And when Jesus came back to show them his hands and his side, he had the courage to lay aside his doubts and confess his faith. In verse 28, he makes a powerful confession. My Lord and my God. Thomas makes this great confession of faith, which goes far beyond any titles or confessions found elsewhere in this gospel. The greatest doubter has become the greatest believer. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed, Jesus states in verse 29. Jesus doesn't deny Thomas a blessing. Thomas has been blessed by seeing the risen Lord and learning that his deepest fears were unfounded. But Jesus implies that those who believe, in spite of not having seen, will receive even greater blessings. In this statement, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed, the Greek word for blessed is makarios. I hope I pronounced that right. Makarios is the same word that Jesus used in the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. The blessings that he pronounced there were the kingdom of heaven, comfort, inheritance, being filled, mercy, seeing God, being called the children of God, and heavenly rewards. This is Jesus' final beatitude, his final blessing in the Gospels. These words will encourage early Christians who feel cheated, having missed seeing Jesus by only a few months or years. They also encourage us who are among those who have not seen, but who believe. So finally, I would like to say, let's dare to be a little more like Thomas. Let's be honest about our doubts, and let's be strong in our faith. Thus ends the message for the day. Praise be to God.
We'd like to thank Mark Benzinelli for sharing the Word of God with us this day. Mark, thank you so much, and blessings to you.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me bakasa daga melo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala. Nibukaki mami sambukoda, were sadadala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere. Kamuni vambuli ke mami manada. Nisano muni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua. Kena langilangi. Asangani mundu. Amen.
Dear friends, our faith community continues to serve the community and the wider world in mission and ministry. We welcome your continuing generosity in this challenging time. Please know that you can send a check to the church, drop your offering by and put it in the mailbox, or arrange to give online at www.pumc.org. You can also give to your church by text message. However you choose to give, we know that it is in the giving that we truly receive, and it is in knowing that we only return to God a measure of what has been given to us in blessings upon blessings.
Prayer of dedication. Holy and marvelous God, we know that everything we have comes from you. As we return our gifts for the work of your church, we pray for generous hearts and flowing spirits. May we reach into new ways of being church, even as we return our thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, as we go out into the world this week, I would like to quote Clarence Jordan. He writes, "The proof that God raised Jesus from the dead is not the empty tomb, but the full hearts of his transformed disciples. The crowning evidence that he lives is not a vacant grave, but a spirit-filled fellowship, not a rolled-away stone, but a carried-away church."